Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Welcome, everyone. This is Haftorah for Parshas Vayera. And the question that we always ask is, what does the Haftorah have to do with the Torah reading? So this time we'll wait till we do it, and then we'll see what we want to say, how it connects. In other words, the Torah reading is about the life of Avraham and Sarah and the tests that he does, and also the Haknasas Orchim. The Parsha begins with him just having surgery, just having after having his bris at an old age, getting up in the heat and looking after guests. That's the way the Parsha begins, and then we have the punishment of Sodom, which was the people that were greedy and not willing to help others, and so the sum of the theme of the Parsha is about taking care of others, but let's see, or those that don't take care of others. We begin the following. Ve'eshes isha achas minashe b'nei anavim, and a woman who was from the wives of the sons of the Nevi'im, Zaka el Elisha. It doesn't identify who her husband was. Her husband had passed away. And she cried out to Elisha, and she said, Lema, avdecha ishi meis. She said, her husband passed away. Va'ata yedati, and you know, ki avdecha yorei es Hashem. You know that her husband was a good guy. If you do the right things, you hope that Hashem will take care of you, right? In other words, if you take care of Hashem and you do the right things, you want Hashem to take care of you. But she said her husband was a righteous person, and he feared Hashem, and now they're in trouble. Now, why did she have to give such an introduction? Why can't she just say she needs help? Why do you got to say, I want you to help me because my husband was righteous and did the... So the truth is, she mentions that they took a loan, and the nosha usually means like to collect interest. And you're really not supposed to take a loan on interest. So you got involved with the mafia, so why do you want to, why is it my job to help you if you got involved with the mafia? Like, you know, you shouldn't have done that. But over here, what happened was that her husband, during the reign of Ahab and Izebel, the wicked queen Jezebel, it became against the law to serve Hashem, to be a prophet of Hashem. And if you spoke in the name of Hashem, she would kill you. So the prophets had to go into hiding. And she and her husband hid over 100 prophets in the caves. It's expensive to hide prophets. I mean, to take care of 100 people, refugees, that's an expensive proposition. And so they went into debt, taking care of these fugitives. And the money that they borrowed to take care of them, eventually they had to borrow money that was had to be paid back, and they were using strong-arm tactics to get the money paid back. Now, what they wanted to do was to take away her two sons. They want to take my sons as payment for the debt and take them into slavery. And that's an awful thing. So she came to Elisha for help, and she was explaining how they got into this. I mean, you could help somebody even if they didn't get into this, but she was saying, think about this. You know, here we've done the right things, and look at this challenge that we face. Verse 2, Yomei la Elisha. Elisha says, Ma esalach, what can I do for you? Hegida li ma yesh lach babayis. A very interesting concept. There's the idea that a miracle doesn't come out of thin air. There has to be, if you do some effort, and then Hashem can make a miracle, and that effort will succeed beyond what you could have imagined. But you have to do some effort. It has to begin somewhere. It wasn't just going to, like, you know, snap your fingers and the money will come raining down. So he said, tell me, what can we find? Where can we start with? What is there to begin with? What do you got in the house? I've got no food in the house. I've got nothing. And all I have is a little flask of oil. So he says, okay. You know what you should do? Go and borrow as many big jugs, as many vessels as you can from all the neighbors. Don't be stingy over here. Borrow as many as you can possibly borrow. Ubaso segarta sedelas, and then come and close the door. This was not going to be done publicly. This was done quietly. When it comes to profits with money, money is something that not everybody has. And we're worried about something a little, it's called the evil eye, the ayin hara. And some of it see it like a spooky kind of thing, you know, ooh, we got an evil eye, Halloween, you know, it's not that. The evil eye is that when Hashem sends us a blessing, we're thankful for it. Not everybody gets a blessing all the time. So if we're doing well, maybe my neighbor's not doing well, maybe he's out of work. And you know what? He's going to look at me and he might be jealous and he might be saying to Hashem, you know, Hashem, I don't drive a car that nice. I don't go on a vacation that nice. I wasn't able to afford to buy clothing that new. And they will feel pain because of the blessing that I have. So Hashem will say, I wanted to help you out, but I didn't want to cause pain to all these other people. You know what? Maybe you won't be so blessed. Maybe next year you won't have enough money to buy the fancy car or the new clothes or go on the... So what we try to... When thank God we have a blessing, we try not to show it off in a way that could somebody who maybe isn't so blessed might feel pain. So... We don't necessarily like show it off in people's face. There's an idea like that. That's the concept of ayin hara.
Sometimes you don't want to cause jealousy. Is that the ayin hara?
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's right.
But then you're causing someone to sin.
Either you're causing them, or even if they're not jealous, even if they feel pain, you know, why can't I have that car? Why can't I have that? Why can't I afford to do that? You know, they can go on vacation and I can hardly pay my bills. Or they, you know, look at their children. They dress them up in the fanciest clothes, and I didn't have children, or I can't have children, or whatever it is. But you never want someone to feel a pain because of a blessing that Hashem has given you.
So it's not like a force.
Not like a spooky kind of thing, that's right. So when you say, so then the question is, sometimes a person will say, oh, thank God, I won the lottery, and my husband's doing so well, and we're going on vacation. And then you say, believe I'd horror, right? So how does that, help? You know, you say it shouldn't be. But what you're saying is that I'm not saying this in a way that I want to cause you pain. Like I'm not trying to do this in a way that I'm inviting any jealousy or wrath. So whether it helps or not is not so clear. But we try to do things when it comes to the wealth. Since wealth is something that not everybody has, or if they have it, certainly not all the time. And people are judgmental. They don't understand why is it that certain people have money and they seem to have their needs met, and other people work just as hard and it just doesn't come so easy. So if thank God we have it, we try not to show it off. You know, that's this idea. So Hashem was going to make a miracle and close the doors. So what would happen is that she was going to take this little jug of oil and pour, and it wouldn't empty. It's interesting. Some people say that's what happened at the Hanukkah miracle, was that the jugs of oil poured and they just kept, it never emptied. It just kept on going. And it's symbolic that, you know, when you give, that you don't miss anything from yours. It keeps on, the original source does not dry up. So that was what she began to do. Verse 6, Vayhi kemlos hakelim. And eventually they filled up all the vessels with oil that were there. V'tomer el banah, she said to her sons, did you bring me everything? They said, V'yomer, Elah, Eino, Kli, we don't have any more. We borrowed as many as we can. There's no place here. V'yamud Hashem. And then it stopped. Verse 7, V'tava tagli ish elokim. So this was a miracle, like this little jug of oil filled up all these big vessels of oil. So now they wanted to know, what are they supposed to do with the oil? So they went to the man of God, V'yamud Hashem, Mochis, to go sell it. And you'll be able to pay off the debts that you have. You and your sons, Tiki. And not only will you be able to pay off the debts, there was enough money left to live off nicely. It must have been some oil. They say that there was a miracle. The price of oil went up at that time. And so they did a killing. They really did well with that oil. V'hi hayom. So that's the end of that particular story. That's one story of the with a woman. Again, that our understanding was that this was the wife of Avadya. By the way, Avadya was the name of the prophet. That was the and he was the one who had hid the people away. That story itself, it doesn't. He was somebody that took care of others who were refugees and fugitives, just like Avraham Avinu. And just like Avraham Avinu, not everything went easy all the time. Some people think that there is such a thing, but one of the lessons of the Torah is that even great people and even people that had miracles, they, you know, Sarah was captured, you know, Sarah was captured by ISIS. That's what happened. Somebody took her away to take her for a wife of some sheik down in Egypt, you know. That wasn't fun. It was only because Hashem, you know, gave them a plague that they weren't able to harm her. Hashem told Avraham, pick yourself up and go somewhere. He went somewhere and there was a famine. So there was no food. Can you imagine being somewhere where there's no food to be bought, or you can't afford the food, and you're just getting hungrier and hungrier, and you had to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Egypt because there was no food? So some of the message is that life has its ups and downs, that Hashem will take care of you. But also that the when you take care of others, like this wife of Avadya took care of these prophets, Avram also was they dedicated their lives to caring for others. Hashem wouldn't leave them, wouldn't abandon them, so to speak. That could be, that's the lesson, at least of that particular story. It's just interesting that it gets thrown in. The next story relates a little bit more direct, and that's because of the taking care of guests. The little children really learn this well. They all make the pictures with the house with the door on all four sides, and what's happened is that we're afraid of strangers. In other words, there was a time where if you saw somebody that needed a ride, you know, that you gave them a ride. If there was somebody who didn't have where to eat, you'd invite them over for supper. And if there was somebody that was homeless, you could try to help them. And you weren't afraid that by helping them, you're helping a drug habit or they might harm you. And it's just at least now in the United States, it's much harder to do hands-on help. You know, to do hands on the truth is, for people that look for mitzvahs, they find them. You find out there's someone who needs help, who has no place to stay, who needs a ride here, who needs, who maybe can't afford to get food, and you can help them somehow there if you look for them. But you have to look for them. It's not as easy as it once was because of our society. There was a time where there were, after the war, where there were refugees, people that came here. There were Russian Jews who you could bring them your old clothes and you could help. You know, it was easy to find. In Israel, you could find it's easy to help, you know, people too. But there are people out there. You just have to work a little harder to find them. But that's we shouldn't lose focus about that's what it means to be a Jew is to help other people, like to find a way to do that. You just have to be a little more creative to find it. The truth is, in our society, people are suffering, but you don't see it that way because they put it all on the credit cards or they owe lots of money or they, you know, in the old days, they starved, you know, it was a little different like you. But there are people that need our help out there. We just have to find them and find ways to do Aknasas Orchim, to help people, to feed them, to clothe them, it just takes a little more work, which maybe makes the mitzvah even greater. But that's who we are. We're from Avraham Avinu and Sarah, which was that we look to help people that are in people. It's a hot day and they're thirsty. We look to get them drinks. There's no greater joy if Hashem gives us the wherewithal that we feel okay and we can help others that have less. Then we should want to do that. That's the you can't emphasize that enough. But like I said, our society has made it a little harder. Up north, they have they have it here too. But you can go and they have places that donate food to people that don't have food, and you can go and they always need volunteers, and they have people that drop off the food, and there are poor families, and It's just organized better, though. It's just easier to do on a regular... You can do it whenever you're in the mood. You can volunteer to help do food deliveries or donate food. Or whenever you're in the mood to visit someone sick, there's somebody sick. Here, it's not an every week, every day kind of thing. You have to work a little harder to find those mitzvahs. But like I said, they're out there. I think they have it's an interesting thing up north. They have a group of men that volunteer to help people who get into car trouble. In other words, if their car breaks down, you can call them. You had that happen?
That's right. We had Hatzalah for our car.
Did you? Kaverim. Okay. They have my son-in-law volunteers for them, and they have a group in Cleveland. In the winter, in the snow, inevitably, if you drive in the snow, you get your car stuck, and it's awful because it's cold, it's freezing, and your car won't move, and you don't know who to call, and they tell you, okay, we'll be there in 6 hours, and you know, and you're cold and hungry. So they have a group of volunteers that come out in the snow and pull your car out. You know, and it's a bunch of people. It's just chesed. It's just kindness. There are ways that if you want to, you can do what this is who we are, which is to help people. The problem is that we all have that in us, but we just don't always get a chance to do hands-on chesed. And that's just so important. It's just so important to be able to. I think for women it's easier because you're used to taking care of others. For men, you're used to just working and writing checks, you know, or whatever. But it's
even both.
Right. Yeah. But you got to have that hands-on, being able to help somebody that needs your help. That some way that you can do something for someone that needs assistance, and that's really the quality of Avraham and Sarah. That's we became a people because of that desire. That we're a people that wants to help others. That's the quality of Avraham. And the first blessing in Shemoneh Esrei, we end with Mogen Avram, because that's the one quality. You know, sometimes we have the piousness of Yitzchak, where we can pray and, you know, be like sacrifice our lives, and sometimes we got that. And sometimes we have the family life of Yaakov and the Torah of Yaakov and the intensity of the tribes of Israel and Yaakov. Finally, we have. But the one thing that we are always going to have, and it goes to our who we are as a people, is the Mogen Avram, the shield of Avraham and Sarah, the ability to want to help others, to want to give, and to realize that's Hashem's presence comes to you when you're able to help others, when you're able to give to others, when you're. I shouldn't have to even say it. I'm saying it because I always feel a lack of it, because I just feel like we're more distant from it. I get the organizations in the mail want me to give them a check so they can help others, right? But I'd love to.
That's the wish.
Yeah, no, I know, right? That's right. Well,
you got a phone call.
Oh, I do. You know, we all do. When you have, you know, most of us have family members that need help in different things too. It's just sometimes it's harder to help your own, you know, because they always want your help, you know, or they're always taking care of the elderly or the young. Or there are so many people that need things that but that is the quality of Avraham Avinu, and that's the we're going to see a little bit of that over here, the Haknesas Orchim and the taking care of it. So we're going to begin to learn about that, but that's the message that I think it was easier, like I said, when it was there was a time when certain times it is easy where you could just go and help people. You know, when they have a natural disaster, then you could always tell who your neighbors are. You know, people come out and they help when there's a, it shouldn't happen, you know, but then you get that chance to really just go and help people. Somebody's, they need a shelter, they need something, so the following happened. It was a certain day, B'Yavre Elisha El Shunem. The prophet, Hashem would give the prophets missions to go to different cities and speak to the people and give them messages. Now, when you travel, they didn't have Holiday Inn in those days, or they couldn't afford Holiday Inn. So the people would travel, and they would have to sleep in the back of the shul, or they'd have to just be homeless, like hang out in town square. Now, their society was a little easier, but he would travel there, and there was somebody who noticed that the prophet really didn't have a place to stay. So, Visham Isha Gadola. And The translation here is better than the Hebrew sounds like a big woman, Isha Gadola, a big woman. But actually, the word big here means important. Like there was a woman who was an important woman who was a. This person had a lot of other things to do, but the text of Bo'lecho Lechem, she. Whenever she saw that the prophet was traveling there, she said, "You must be hungry." That's a good Jewish mother. You know, you're hungry. Come stop by, eat something, have something to eat. Whenever he came, Yasser Shem Alecho Lechem. He always knew he could get a hot meal over at this lady's house. Verse 9. He said, "I know you're a holy man." Who Aberlame. So now the woman noticed that the prophet would travel by pretty often. And maybe he stayed there, or maybe didn't. But she wanted to make him comfortable. She said, you know, like she saw that, you know, traveling and not being home is difficult. It's hard not being in comfortable. So she said, he comes by all the time. Verse 10, Nasa na Elias Kir. You know what? Let's make a guest room. Let's make a nice guest room for this rabbi that comes by. V'nasan lo shamita, and we'll give him a bed, and we'll give him a table so he can study there, he can eat there, a chair. U'menorah, we'll give him some light. V'hai b'vo aleinu yasser shama, so this way when he travels, he'll feel like he's a man, she'll be comfortable. So they built, this was like the first guest house that was built. And that's what she decided to do. Verse 11, V'hiyayom v'yavu shama, sure enough, Elisha came and he went there, but Yosef Aliyah, and he went. It was the second floor. It was like an upstairs guest room. But Yishkov Shami slept there. Verse 12. So this was Elisha was very impressed. In other words, not only did this woman people go out of their way to give him food, which when you're traveling you don't have your pots and pans with you, you don't have a hot meal. That's very nice to provide for them. But now she provided like his own private space. And there was a menorah, everything was great. But Tomer al Gehazi, now Gehazi is an interesting person. We're not going to have a chance to talk about him right now. He was the servant or the shamish of Elisha, a very capable person. We're going to see, he ends up, he becomes sour. We're going to see he's later on he becomes greedy and then he gets leprosy and there's a whole story about him. But he, meanwhile, at this point, all we know is that he is the shamish or the assistant of Elisha. So Elisha says to Gehazi. Now, in those days, and again, it's often a good idea. Men are careful how they speak with women. In other words, even though she was the one who was doing the cooking in the house, he didn't always, it seems like he spoke to the woman through his servant, like he didn't talk to her directly. That's what he did here. It could be, some people say that was out of a sense of modesty. Sometimes you'll see that. In other words, that rabbis or whatever men that are reluctant to talk, you know, they... In America, where people are raised in a way where they're not taught to be like afraid of women, so to speak, or they talk to women, they call them by their first name, and they are friendly with them. And Rabbi Feldman says that the men should say good Shabbos to the women, and the women say good Shabbos to the men. In other places, that's not always done. Now, there's a plus and a minus. In places where men are friendly with women, you sometimes have problems because people sometimes can be inappropriate in those societies, or it's easier to have problems. On the other hand, it's not as friendly a society when people don't, you know, you talk to someone, they don't look you in the eye, they look on the ground, you know, there are in many Orthodox communities, the men won't say good Shabbos to a woman, or they won't necessarily look at a woman directly in the face, and it's not that a woman is any less or a man is any less. It's an overall fence that they have that men are better off not looking at women other than their wives if they don't have to. You know, that's a shelter that some, especially in the Hasidic community, that's relatively common. But it's not because of a lack of friendliness, but and many people in private settings are very polite and very friendly, but in public they try to set a norm where they don't they won't communicate in the same way. So some people suggest that's why Elisha was not talking like directly to her. Maybe that'd be inappropriate, you know. She wants this man to come stay in her house, you know. It's a married woman. And we're going to see also, apparently she was closer to the prophet than her husband. Very interesting. You can just guess. I don't, you know, but... you don't want a husband getting... we don't even know if Elisha was married. It doesn't sound like it. I can't speak to her. We don't hear about him having a child. Or we don't know. But we don't hear about a Mrs. Elisha. We don't hear... So here's this single man, and here's this woman who really loves this prophet and gives him a room in her house. And you have to make sure everything is an appropriate communication. Vitomer el Gehazi. So he tells Gehazi, his servant, Karla Shunami says those. He says... Go call the lady downstairs, and the Shunam was the name of the place that they were from. It's interesting that up until recent times, people were known by the city they came from. Even in people in Europe 75 years ago, they would call people the name of the city they were from. You were called from, you know, the New Yorker, Chicago, and, you know, we're not the same way about it, but in many of the people in that time, they were just known by the city they came from. If you were from Prague, you were called Prager. If you were from Berlin, you were called Berliner. If you were called, you know, the... And people were products of the city they came from. They
Boston or Rabbi.
The Boston or Rabbi, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. Right, right. Very good. That's a good example. So today it's less common, but again, it wasn't that long ago that for hundreds of years it was very common that people were called by they were known by the city of that they came from. That's how they were. There are also not that many Jewish names. So if you have a Moshe, if you have five Moshes, so the one, you got Moshe from this city and Moshe from that city, so you call them the city that he came, you know, that he came from. But when you study, you'll see that, like, often people were called by the city that they were from, or the there was a great rabbi. He was called the Lubliner Rav because he came from Lublin. If he came from, the Shunamis, he said, call her. I want to speak to the lady from Shunam. And then she came. Imina eleha hine kol. He said, I'm really like, you went to all this trouble and you made this beautiful guest wing. Why'd you go to all this trouble? Now, she didn't say, why you go to all this trouble? He said, look, look at what you've done, such a nice thing. Ma lasos lach, what can I do for you? You know, you went out of your way for me, like, this is so nice. You built me this special guest wing. Ma lasos lach, what can I do for you? There must be some way I can repay you for this kindness. Can I trouble you for the tissue box, please? Thank you. So that was what Elisha had said to her. Now, what could he do? Was he a rich person? So he says, "Hayesh ledaber loch el ha-melech." Do you want me to speak to Elisha was a important person, and he knew all the great powers that be. He said, "You know, I could speak to the king on your behalf. You know, I could get." In those days, you had to have access to the king. I got access to the king, or, you know, Saratsava, I know the military people. Whatever you want, I'll be happy to get it taken care of for you. You know, in those days, if you knew the right people, so Elisha said I could talk to them. So let's see what she says. Very interesting. Very smart lady. Vitomar, she says, Besocha mi anochi yosheva. She says, I'm with the people. I don't want anything special. I don't want to. I don't single myself out. I don't. You know. I'm not asking. I don't. You know. I don't want any special treatment. I'm just one of the bunch. That was what. Now the Medrash says that this was Rosh Hashanah, and when he said I could speak to the king, he was saying I could speak to Hashem. You know, I'm close with Hashem. Is there something that, you know, I can ask Hashem to do something? I'll pray for you. What is it that you want? And she says, no, don't single me out. She didn't want to be, you know, when you single someone out, then Hashem says, well, maybe they don't deserve it. Maybe, no, I'm just besocha. And this is a famous saying. That people sometimes, I think they offered to there are some rabbis to, when they, during the Holocaust, that they would save them. And they said, no, we're going to go with our people. Besochamiv, you know, a person doesn't want special treatment. Person shouldn't want to be treated differently than everybody else. I'm not going to go in a different class than the rest of my group. I belong with my people. And many times people will quote the words of this great lady, you know, I'm with my people. I'm not going to ride and I don't want special treatment. We resent that, to be in special treatment, even though, you know, maybe a person could, you know, they're an honoree, they're important, they should be up there. She said, no, I'm with my people. I don't want to be up there. Verse 14, V'yomar amah la'asus lo. So some people are like this, by the way. They won't let you help them. So then what you have to do is you have to figure out how to help them. They won't tell you. So Elisha said to his servant Gehazi, what can we do for this lady? There must be something. So Gehazi said, you know what? She doesn't have any children. And there's a problem. Her husband's pretty old. It's something that could happen easily, you know. That's what Gehazi said. Verse 15. Vetomar Vayomar Karla. So he said, call her. Vayikrala, and they called the woman Vitama Pesach, and she stood there. Vayomar, and he said the following, Lemoid Azek Es Chayaat. He said, when I come back next year at this time, Kovekas Bain, you'll get to hug your child. Very beautiful expression. Doesn't just say you'll have a child. It says you'll be able to hug your child. Kovekas Bain. And according to many people, this child was going to be the prophet Habakkuk. The prophet's name, it actually means, Chavak means to hug. It's a funny name for a prophet, the hugged one. I don't know why people don't use that name anymore, or you don't hear too many Habakkuks. But that's the word Habakkuk's Bain.
Yeah.
Child's name is Hug. So next year at this time, you're going to hug your child. Now, let's see her response. It's so funny because I kind of start to picture this lady, like try to see Vitomar, and she says, Adonia Yesha Elikim, Altaga, she says, don't fool your maidservant. She said, don't give me promises. Apparently she did. Maybe there were other people who gave her blessings. So she said she didn't want a promise that wouldn't be true. If she felt she was too old, then she felt it was impossible. We see the connection right away, too, because Sarah also felt that it would be impossible. Same thing, that, you know, she didn't want a promise that she felt, you know, it's too late. You know, it can't happen. So she said, don't give me a promise that can't be done. Other people say that she had a premonition that she didn't promise that the child would grow up and be there. You just said that you'll get to hug your child. Some people say that she had had other children and they passed away, that they didn't. In previous times, we have no idea what a blessing we have. Most people, most of their children actually don't die in childhood. In earlier times, even in royal families, like if you read like the history of the czars or the majority of the children they had didn't make it past childhood. They had childhood diseases that they had no protection from. And people would have 6, 8, 10 kids and only 2 or 3 would survive if they were lucky. It was very, very common in many, many countries that they lost children in childhood. And I like to read biographies. So, you read and you just... It's just like so matter of fact. Oh, they, you know, that this, you know, the 3-year-old died, the 5-year-old died. And you think, how did these families manage to live with that? It was just such a hard existence. And, you know, thank God we live in a time where it's not so common. Thank God that, you know, children die in a young, I mean, it happens, but I'm just saying it was such, so some people say she had this and she said she didn't want another child that would die at a young age. So she said, you know, you just promised me that I'll have a child that'll hug. So she says, don't give me a false promise. Verse 17, Vitari, Shiva Taylor Bain. So she became pregnant and she gave birth to a child at the same time, Geshaya Shadiba, just like she was told by the prophet Elisha. Verse 18, Vyagdal Yelad, and the child grew up, Vyayav, Vyetzel, Aviv. Now the story continues. The story always continues, by the way. Life always keeps on going. You always need to know the rest of the story. So let's see what happened. So the child grew up. He became a big kid. He started hanging out with the daddy in the field, in the business. Vayomer Alavi Roshi Roshi. It's also interesting. He tells daddy, he says, my head. Roshi Roshi. My head's hurting me. Vayomer Elanar. So the father says to the lad, the worker, he said, you know what, bring him to his mother. If he doesn't feel well, take him home to mommy. That's the say well, Yimo. Some people say this might have been a kind of heat stroke. So they carried him, and they brought him to the mother of Yeshua Berchaha. And the child sat on the mother's lap, Ad Saharayim, until the afternoon, Vayamus. And the child died. To all intents and purposes, the child died. Now, did the child die, or was he in a coma? I don't know exactly. But he, there was no, he stopped breathing, he stopped movement. The woman carried the child upstairs to the bed of the prophet, because she had faith over here. Very interesting, because the prophet had guaranteed her that this wouldn't be a false promise. So she believed in the prophet, so she took the child and she put him on the bed in the guest wing, on the prophet's bed. Amitas Isha Elokim, and then she closed the door, and then she went out. Verse 22, Vatikri Elisha, she called out to her husband, and she said, Shilcha Nilecha, go one of the lads to lead the horse, you know, to lead the donkey. In those days, when you travel with a donkey, you had a rider boy. I don't know what you call it. Go get me one of these rider boys and to shield the donkey. I have a rutzana, and I'll run. I got to go visit the man of God, Vashuv, and I'll come back. It's interesting is the husband doesn't ask how the kid is, or we don't know. Maybe he didn't know the child died. She didn't say anything. That's also a Jew. We're getting a lot of good stuff here. It's also a Jewish custom not to mention when there's really bad news, we don't try to announce it right away. We hope it's not final. Like, you know, somebody has like a sickness or something. She didn't want to say the child was dead. She didn't want to say it was finished. She was still, she's going to run to the man of God and talk to him first. So she goes to visit the man of God and he said, why are you going today? Hayom lo chodesh v'lo Shabbos. It's very interesting. You see, she said, usually she would only go to synagogue on Rosh Chodesh or Shabbos. And she said, well, you're going to, it's like you tell her, I got to go to shul. What's doing at shul? There's nothing at shul. You go to shul Shabbos, you go to shul Rosh Chodesh. Where are you going to shul all of a sudden? Why you got to go see the rabbi? So, Vatoma, and what does she say? Shalom. Bye, see you later. Everything's fine. Shalom. It's just it's so interesting. Like, there's so many things we don't know over here in the conversation, but she tells the husband, it's fine, don't worry. He was starting to get nervous. You know, first the child's sick, she doesn't hear anything, so she's very secretive. I got to go to talk to the prophet. So he says, why are you going? What's the matter? He says, don't worry, everything's fine. So, verse 24, Vatachvash Asim. And she saddles the donkey. By the way, the Hebrew for the donkey, the word donkey in English is an ASS. I don't like to use that word, even though when it describes a donkey. That's actually the same as the Hebrew word, ason, us. That's the same word as the we call it a donkey. We're not used to calling it the ASS word. But the Hebrew word is actually, the ASS is the Hebrew word, ason. Which is interesting. Sometimes it's easier to remember Hebrew if you know somehow that word turned into an English word, and then it turned into a bad word, but it means a donkey. V'tomber el dara, she said to the lad, Nohag v'leich el ta'atzer li lirchov, don't hold me up, ki ima marti lech, because she wanted to go. V'teiv gatav el ish elokim, and she rode the donkey to the man of God, el har Carmel, to Mount Carmel, v'hikaros ish elokim. So now they saw this lady coming, riding on the donkey, and so Elisha said to Gehazi, his servant boy, he said, this is the Shunamis. He recognized her. 26, Vata Rutzna, please go out and greet her. If she's coming, see if everything's okay. V'yomer la shalom lach, go find out if everything's okay. Is shalom lishech, are you okay? Is your husband okay? Hashalom liyel, is your kid okay? So what does the woman say? Shalom, everything's fine. There's some people like that. They'll never tell you, you know, how's everything, Baruch Hashem? And everything is awful, but they're, yeah, Baruch Hashem, everything's fine. You know, like that's the way they talk. So she says, everything's fine. She wanted to talk to the man of God. V'tovo Elisha Elokim, she comes to the man of God, Ol Har, to the mountain. Now she does a very interesting thing. She grabs his feet. V'tachzik Baraglov. She I guess she wanted to show that she was serious over here. She grabs his feet. Now Gehazi, You could talk to a man of God, but you don't grab him by the feet. I mean, it's just not so comfortable. So it's not a. So Gehazi went to like pull the woman away. He wanted to push her away. You know, that's, you know, Gehazi, his job was to protect the man of God. He said, no, don't do it. Now she's just upset. And Hashem, sometimes Hashem would tell the prophet why, what the problem was. I don't know what's bothering her, but don't be rough on her. She's just very upset. When a person is very upset, you have to sometimes have allowances for people that are very upset. That's what the prophet, the man of God, said. So now the woman finally speaks. She said, "Hashalti bein esadoni." She said, "Did I ask for this child? Hallo amarti lo tisha. I told you not to give it to me. I told you I didn't want another miss. I didn't want another child for a few years. I never did. Don't you remember our conversation where I said that if this was only going to be temporary, that it wasn't what I had wanted?" She understood that the child was as a result of Elisha's prayers, and that she had spoken to Elisha that she wanted a child that would survive. And so she came to Elisha, and she didn't say what the problem was. She said, "Remember our conversation, and I told you I didn't want a child that would not survive?" So he said, he understood right away that there was a problem with the child. So he says to Gehazi, "Koga masnecha." She said, "Gird your loins, put on your travel belt, v'kach masnecha v'yedecha. Go and take my staff, v'lech, and go, kitimsi ish." His job, he told him to go and heal the child. Now, you might run into people when you go. So he said, when you see people, you give them a blessing. You say hello. So he told Gehazi, you should go immediately. And don't stop to be friendly. This poor woman is in pain. This child is dying any second. Don't stop to schmooze with people. If somebody says hello to you, don't answer them. Go and take and put my staff and put it on the face of the child. So this is very interesting. We really need more time like you could to investigate what's going on over here, because this doesn't work, and it always works. So usually if something doesn't work, it means you didn't follow the instructions. So that's what happened over here. We're going to see Gehazi didn't follow the instructions. So the mother, you would have thought that she went with Gehazi to see the child get better. She said she's not leaving Elisha. It's very interesting. We're going to see. She's a very smart lady. Gehazi was not so good. He didn't turn out so good later. And she knew it. But not even the man of God didn't know it. But she said, she trusts Elisha. So she said, "I'm not leaving you. I'm not leaving you till I see this child get better. I'm not going with him." And so Elisha came. In other words, she insisted that Elisha himself come. But Gehazi went ahead. I'm going to read fast because next week's a new Haftorah. And he put the stick on the nar, in kol, and it didn't work. So he went back. The tradition has it that Gehazi talked to people on the way. There's an interesting medrash that Gehazi himself wasn't sure if it was going to work, and he came across a dead cat, and he put the stick on the cat, and the cat came alive, and then he like used up the power of the stick. There's some interesting information here but we just don't have, like, there's some midrashim and things about what happened, but this didn't work. So V'yavo Elisha Abaisa. So Elisha came to the house. V'hinei nar meis mishkava, and the child was dead. Says he was dead. Says he's dead, lying on the bed. V'yavo, he came up. V'yis, he closed the door. V'atshnei v'ispael el Hashem, and he davened to Hashem. That's what you do. V'yav v'yishkava, yelled, and he went. He lied down on the child. V'yosem panim. Modern people say he did CPR, but he davened to Hashem. V'yenav, he put his eyes on the child's eyes. He caught his hands on his hand. Gaher a love, and he warmed him. He woke him up, and then all of a sudden the child got warm again. And he pulled himself back, and the child woke up. Vigar love a yozer hanar, and the child sneezed shavot seven times. Yifu hanar saying, and then he opened his eyes. So it was like the concept of what the seven is. But this was really a miracle. The idea of bringing back to life. We believe that nothing's impossible. Like there's the idea that things get brought back to life, that this concept that prophets have the power to bring back to life. So Elisha brought this child back to life. The Yikra El Gehazi, so he calls Gehazi, and he says, call the woman, quick. The Yikra V'tavo Eila V'tamar Sibin, he said, go take your son. V'tavo Tifa Raglov, the woman hears the news, she's so happy she thought he was dead, and she bows down, V'tishach V'arts V'tises Bana V'tet, and she takes her son, and she leaves. So interesting that we get that in the Haftorah about, but the idea was that she was the person that took care of others, and Hashem took care of her. That's the idea that, even though we don't always get a reward in this world, for certain mitzvahs we do. And so when a person does Saknasas Orchim, but that's kind of the message over here, that she was rewarded in this.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.